Greetings again, everyone. It is Thursday, the 10th of March. You've got one more week to wait until St. Patrick's Day. I know that's a big holiday here in Turdville. And today's also a holiday because we get the one and only Bill Murphy to join us here for A to A. Bill, if you're, I'm sure almost everybody's familiar with him. He is the chairman of the Gold Antitrust Action Committee, our biggest and best advocate in the fight against the evil, rascally bankers. He also runs his own site, lametropolecafe.com, subscription service that you should definitely be considering if you haven't already joined. And a link to Bill's site is here on this podcast page. Again, we are in we'll be forever in the debt of Bill and Chris Powell and all the work they do. We want to support their efforts at GATA, and all of that is the reason for this call today. But anyway, first and foremost, Bill, thank you so much for joining us, and welcome back to TFMR.
Yeah, Craig, how good is this? The luck of the Irish today with St. Patrick's Day coming up and having Murphy on and Gold doing what it's doing, huh?
That's exactly right. You can click your heels together, and we're going to find that pot of the gold, at the end of the rainbow today, perhaps.
It's coming.
And what Bill's referencing is we record this on Thursday. It's been just a crazy day. Brand new European expansion of ECB QE. They're now going to be monetizing corporate debt. And we've had this huge move down in the euro and then this huge spike up. And Bill, I want to get your thoughts on this, because what this now reminds me of is what we saw out of the Bank of Japan about 6 weeks ago, where they announced NERP, negative interest rates, and the yen sold off for about 48 hours and then had just a historic rally of about 10%, and that drove gold sharply higher all through early February. And now here we are today, and the euro sold off and it's sharply higher after only about 20 minutes. Are we finally seeing the, let's call it a central bank failure or failure of confidence in the central banks? Are we starting to finally see that here in 2016?
In a word, yes.
There you go. All right, next question.
Craig, as you correctly point out, and as a lot of your people know, you know, what we call the gold cartel, the bullion banks, U.S. government, the Fed, the Treasury, the BIS, they've all been selling gold on the rally, sell, open interest up near 500,000 contracts, the specs are long. And over the years, time and time again, they flush the specs out, and that's the drill. It happens over and over again, and this time it was on this morning, it was on course, where gold was nearly $50 off its spike high. And oh no, Groundhog Day again, it's happening. But as again, your followers know, gold's traded totally different this year. Every time the bad guys hit, it comes right back. And it what used to take weeks and months takes hours and days. Yep. And I swear, I blinked this morning to start writing some commentary. I said, oh, not again. And by the time I looked up, gold had rallied $30.
Yeah.
I mean, and we're putting in an outside day on the upside in gold and silver, potentially the reverse in the dollar. I mean, this is truly an historic day, and it appears, and I say that because if you get too cocky, they nail you. The gold cartel, the bad guys, are in big trouble for just what you're talking about.
You know, we've maintained here, my site, that, you know, the reason for the downtrend, and it's been brutally enforced now for almost 3 years since they really broke it down in April of 2013. The reason was to try to control price and thereby control sentiment and thereby control physical demand out of the West. And man, are we seeing that change here this year. So the question, in your opinion, Bill, is this the real thing? Have we seen the bottom? Are we finally breaking out and moving higher?
Yes. Again, one more to answer.
There you go.
Things have changed, and not yet in silver, because when that goes, we can get to that. But they're having trouble with the gold market for just what you're talking about. People are seeing what they've done. They got away with it for years. I mean, all this time, for crying out loud, QE and lower interest rates, negative interest rates, should have been bullish for gold all along. But they did what you said. They hit the price. They attacked to deflect from what they're doing. And because of the physical demand situation and their growing lack of physical supply, which we've been talking about for years, we're reaching a tipping point in which they can't counter it. The demand, again, that you're referencing to is so massive now in the West that it's overpowering their ability to keep this price down. And that's why we've had these sudden spikes back up, just like we've had spikes down. I mean, again, I can't stress today what a big deal today is, as you well know. And like, boy, we take out 1280, which we could any time, and or the next few days, look out. And yes, it's changing, and it's a process. It doesn't just happen overnight. It's been happening for the first 2 months of this year, and if today is like a signature day, then it's going to keep going. I mean, why would the dollar get weak?
Yeah.
Today, it makes no sense unless people are saying, "Uh-oh, this is what Europe's doing. The United States, no matter what they say, is going to be doing the same thing, and nobody really expects it to the degree that the market says is coming."
That would sure seem to be it too, Bill. It's like, wait a second, we have negative interest rates in Japan. The Japanese bond market has essentially collapsed. Even just yesterday was just a complete meltdown. We got negative interest rates all over Europe, but the U.S. thinks they're going to raise rates? I mean, that has to be, I guess, kind of factored into what's going on today.
Well, that's what the price action telling us. I mean, gold should have never gone down in the first place because
yeah.
The stuff they're doing in Europe is gold friendly, and it has been, not bearish, but what the dollar did was just absolutely stunning to go from way up to way down. It's down as much as it was up, and that's on. You're a trader and you understand markets as well as anybody. When a market like the dollar tanks on news like this, what is going on behind the scenes, and what is the big money seeing or know is coming that hasn't registered on the in the general public yet? But boy, something big is going on. You just don't have things like this for no reason.
Yeah. All right, now Bill, I want to get your opinion on this because you've been at this for a long time, and I gotta tell you, there's a handful of people in the world that I think understand this stuff as well as I do, and you're definitely one of them. And so I want to get your opinion on this because, and we were talking about this on the side all week. You referenced open interest. Now we liquidated about 10,000 of it yesterday on the downdraft. Imagine that. But I'm sure we're putting that right back on today. We're going to be right up to 500,000. The banks have added 120,000 contracts of open interest, trying to feed it to the speculators over the last 6 weeks. Back in the day when we were really having fun in 2009, 10, and 11, open interest was routinely around 550. Sometimes it got up to 600,000 contracts. Here's ultimately the question. In your experience, and then factoring in where we are, is there a limit to which the banks can create paper metal? I mean, if speculator interest grows, everybody starts, all these hedge funds, institutions, everybody wants exposure to paper gold, and these specs just keep flowing into the COMEX, is there a limit, do you think, that the banks can produce and alchemize paper metal?
Well, Craig, here's where I come from, and I feel really strongly about it. You cannot have a gold and silver bull market without a commercial signal failure, without the bad guys getting beat. It will never, ever happen, because even if they are successful this time, and so far they're sucking wind, they will do the same thing. As soon as they go, they flush the speculators out, you go back up again, they start selling again. What has to happen, and I think it is happening, is the physical markets will overpower the ability of the gold cartel, no matter what they sell in the paper market, to keep the price down. And what will happen is, what a commercial signal failure means to me, is that a lot of these guys that are going along with this gold cartel are going to have to cover, because the financial pain will get too much for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows what the cartel and who they're selling for, the government, I mean, what they do in the gold market, what they're going to do, their losses there are minuscule compared to the whole financial market scene and
Right. Cheapers
and real estate, bonds and the stock markets and everything. So
yeah. So
what? But that's what in my opinion, it's just my way I see it, you have to have a commercial signal failure. And no matter what they do, it doesn't work, because the combination of this new interest you're talking about, and the physical market buying along with the spec interest, it just overpowers them. And normally the bad guys win. But this time gold has traded all year that something is different, the way it's bounced back, as I mentioned earlier. And doggone if it hasn't done it today. I mean, it's extraordinary. And the shares are acting that way. They're not correcting at all.
Yeah.
I mean, if the biggest moves in history will occur when a lot of the smart people are looking for corrections and get out. And then how do you get back in? When do you pay up?
Yeah.
Where do you get that kid?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll use First Majestic as an example. It's a silver producer I follow. The management's the only one, the real silver producer that gives God of the time of day. Keith Neumeyer and his staff are a really sharp, low-cost producer.
Yep.
Well, that starts going from 240 to 560. And that's without silver doing much of anything.
Yeah.
So I'm just using this as an example. If you want to, what do you do? Do you buy it? Do you wait for the correction, which I know a lot of people are doing? Or do you wait to go buy it at 6? Do you buy it at 7? Yeah. It used to be at 25, 26, 27. And I'm not saying what to do or not, but I know, but this is what will happen in the biggest move in history, which I think is coming. And are we here now? We could be. And then what do you do?
Yeah.
It's hard. It's not easy.
That's absolutely. Jim Sinclair has always said what? The biggest move will be missed by most people but for a lot of the reasons that you're talking about.
Well, then that's just what Murray Pollitt, this Canadian fellow, was one of the girls in the industry. And God bless him, he died a few years ago, fought cancer, you know, bravely. Mm-hmm. And he said in the 70s, most of the people he knew that were in the gold market and silver, gold, silver share market for a long time were not there for the big move. Where it comes in is because they get out looking for the usual corrections.
Yeah.
It's the momentum guys that make all the money that know nothing about gold and silver. They see it on a screen someplace and say, I'm buying this.
That's right.
And they're not afraid to pay up because they don't know what it was like when it was down below.
And they're just buying it because they're chasing a dot in the first place. You're right.
Hey, they're just saying because all the technicals, it goes on the top of the buy list all over the place.
Yep. And before we start getting into the listener questions, and again, we for anybody that's new to A2A or a new subscriber to the site, we host these on this GoToWebinar platform so that you can listen and then type in your own questions for the guest. There is a tab on your GoToWebinar control panel for questions. You click it and you type it, and I will relay it on to Bill in just a minute. But before we get there, one last question, Bill. To that end of the seemingly limitless but not infinite paper creation, like you said, we need a signal failure, a failure in the paper markets that will come from probably a delivery failure that will spark the whole thing. So just what's your version? As you look over the horizon, we've all done this, and we all sit there and think, what's going to look like? What's it going to be? Is it going to be this big conflagration that brings banks down, or is it just going to be like a 48-hour event where COMEX cash settles a bunch of contracts and the banks, you know, the CNBC will say, J.P. Morgan is going to have a $1.5 billion write-down due to their exposure to closing the silver position, and then everybody will just move on and we'll have a new physical market. I mean, how do you see, I mean, in your mind, what's the most likely way that this all ends, Bill?
That's a great question, Craig. You know, none of us know. I mean, look at what just happened the other day to BlackRock and whatever the reasons were, and then you can go into this and that. That was a failure of sorts. What other ETF would stop because everything's too good?
Yeah.
For whatever reason, sure as it was. That was a failure to some degree, no matter how it and how they spin it out, what was really going on, who knows. It's very hard to know about the COMEX, what they'll do. But what it will mean is the physical market will just go on fire. In other words, you'll need to own that physical silver. And who knows what, the SLV, which has JP Morgan and it, who runs it, what they really have. And who knows how much is in the unallocated accounts are gone and what the Ponzi scheme, how much it is. What I can say is, as this unfolds and it really hits, the prices will go bonkers, and especially in silver, but gold too, and it'll just take off. And there'll be all kinds of reasons, as you've just said, and excuses of what's happening and why. The truth will be the last thing that will be told.
Yeah, that's always the case, that's for sure. All right, Bill, let's dive into the questions in queue. Again, for anybody that wants to ask Bill anything, there is no greater expert on gold and silver price manipulation and the bullion banking, call it the derivative price scheme. No greater expert in the world than the guy we've got here on the line. So if you've got any questions you've ever wanted to ask Bill, just type them in and we'll relay them to him. And the question in queue that I have that's first up comes from Larry. Larry just wants you to go back and discuss a little more about why the euro didn't go down today. And it went down and then it magically just reversed and shot higher, even though they're devaluing the euro by printing all these new ones. What do you, can you explain a little more about what you think's happening?
Well, you know, it's something, you know, that you're a great trader and understand the markets, Craig. What's going, when something happens like that, where it goes to what it should, the dollar, euro gets weak, and then all of a sudden it takes off and the dollar goes from up to down. Something is going on behind the scenes that the big money knows, and we don't see it yet. And my feeling is that things really are that bad in the U.S. And what we've done, and everybody knows, as you mentioned earlier, Japan, Europe, and so on, but we've hidden how big our problems are, and that's coming. And when that's coming, that the people that are trading today say, you know, I'm getting out. This is my chance to exit dollars, and you do it on a day like this. But to do it in this magnitude, and the news, I mean, it's one, it's extraordinary. I don't think I've ever seen it this way before on news. And if it's got to petrify people if it holds by the end of the day and tomorrow, my good grief.
Yeah.
So I think, and I know that the, I don't know what the Dow is going to do today or what it's even doing now, but it was, you know, 50 higher, then it went up like 200 higher, then it was down on the day, then it was down 130. Man, this is terrible, terrible action. So it gives, you know, gold's, you know, made its move with the Dow going up, and at sometimes it was part of a safe haven trade, but it's hung in there with, you know, without the safe haven trade. And if that comes back in spades, as you were talking about earlier, Western demand, oh my gosh, and it's going to create real trouble for the gold cartel.
It certainly seems that way. All right, Chip wants to know, saw you on CNBC Asia recently. And it was good to see you getting some press on the worldwide media. Wants to know, are you finally getting a little warmer reception in the mainstream media?
Another one-word answer, no. Bernie Lowe is a great guy. He's given God of the time of day for over a decade, and when he was with Bloomberg, I think, and he understands that he has Chris Powell on, and he's willing to talk about the truth out there, but he's alone. I mean, I was on CNBC in February of 1999 with Ron and Sana.
Oh, God.
And as soon as they heard him, what God had to say and what I was saying on behalf of God, we've been banned ever since. I mean, he was gulped. He gulped during the presentation.
He's such a douchebag anyway. God, I hate that guy.
And, you know, Chris does a great job in getting stuff out, material out to all press. He has a list. Nobody ever gets back to him. I can tell you that Claudia Carpenter told John Emery, Chris, and I in London 5 years ago, said, we are not allowed to mention GATA. Not allowed to mention. So, like, talking about a four-letter word. So, honestly, you know, God bless Bernie Lowe, and thanks, Chris, for bringing that up. I hope we can get GATA can do more of this kind of thing, but boy, oh boy, it's tough. And we keep trying, but we keep getting shut down no matter what we do. So maybe someday, I predict someday that's all going to change, but only after the gold and silver markets blow up, which they will.
Yeah, then we're all going to sit there and just kind of smile wryly at everybody, you know. And
well, you know why, if I may, Chris? Because everyone's going to want to have answers then, and they'll demand from the press, how could this have happened?
That's right.
And it's a whole other story, but it's coming when the chaos really hits.
That's right. Again, now, if anybody has any questions for Bill, just type them into the queue. The next one comes from Tim. Wants to know about the GLD, so allegedly adding about 150 metric tons. You mentioned the BlackRock fund earlier. The GLD allegedly somehow, magically, in 6 weeks, finds 150 metric tons when it's going to take the Germans 7 years to get 300 tons. What's your professional opinion of the GLD? Do they actually own all the gold that they claim they have, or is it just kind of spread around, unallocated, you know, leased out, hypothecated?
Well, Craig, you know, honestly, you're more of an expert on this than I am, but I know from the very beginning, and even when I spoke in front of the CFTC and brought this to their attention and talked about it in 2010, I mean, the custodian at the time, I think that's changed, was the biggest short in the market. The custodian, the same was HSBC, and they were the biggest gold short at the time. That's changed. But as you know, the bylaws and the regulation mean they can do whatever they want to do, and they're not answerable to anybody.
Yep.
And there's no real audit. So nobody knows what they're really doing, what they have, how they're using it. I mean, back then, I mean, you know, you J.P. Morgan and SLV and HSBC and GLD. In other words, the two big shorts in either markets are the custodians of major funds. It's It was tailor-made for the gold cartel. So now these now fast forward all these years later, who knows what they really have, what they've been doing, if they're finagling. I don't know, and I just know that you can't believe anything they come up with.
Yeah, no, and like you said, you know, HSBC, such an honest company with a sterling reputation, you know, of dealing with drug dealers and money launderers and all that kind of stuff. So you can really believe everything they do. All right, here's a question from Joe, who just is wondering if maybe he goes, is it likely that the blow of the paper gold market will come from overseas, not from the U.S. or maybe even from Europe, I guess, that someone less vulnerable to cash settlement could do some arm twisting?
Well, it's a good point. I mean, what we're waiting for at some point when someone demands, you know, the physical delivery of something and you get another BlackRock that can't be disguised and say, no, we can't get it for you. I mean, and then people say, what do you mean you can't get it for me? And I don't know how this will manifest itself, but something is building the way gold has traded this year. I mean, again, so different. Even in the bull market, gold never traded like this, never, in the sense of coming back after hits, coming, boom, 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 boom. And that's different. And it suggests that major changes are going on, and that process, the tipping point of the fifth gold cartel running out of enough physical and to do what they've been able to. What are they shifting around to try to get it? And who really knows? I mean, except that the market's telling us we're getting close to something that's explosive.
Yes.
And that's what it says. And they keep trying to keep it down. But boy, are they having trouble.
Maybe I'll broaden your smile right now at 12:25 Eastern, an hour before the close. We just made a new high of the day above 12:71. So there you go.
All right.
Now Steve has an interesting question here and an interesting point. Cause I saw this story earlier and I thought, now that's something we're going to need to talk about at some point. And it was a story that hit the news today that the People's Bank of China is going to begin to nationalize insolvent companies. Again, this, which is really not much different from what the ECB is doing or what the Bank of Japan is doing by buying ETFs and everything that they're doing. So Steve says this means that the Draghi news, well, and the Japanese government moves means Keynesian desperation. What if China really does have 20,000 metric tons of gold, he asks? Will the dollar lose its reserve currency status, and will all currencies or the IMF SDR basket have to have a gold backing?
Well, again, it's pretty technical. I mean, but in the sense of all I can say is and bring to the table here is that right now you got a race to the bottom in currencies. And today's a perfect example of the stuff you're talking about. I mean, one is in more trouble than the next one. And that's what today's action is telling us. So, and that's why, you know, you're getting the bids in gold are able to keep the price up and the gold cartel continues to retreat or backpedal after attacking. And so at some point, as it's playing out and we're seeing it, you know, it's in a process again, the value and the real intrinsic things about gold, which makes it what it is, are going to stand out and become more meaningful. And, you know, who knows what the Chinese have, but as all your listeners know, they think much bigger picture and longer term. And I can tell you, I know they know what Gata knows because I've had three conference calls with the Chinese Investment Corporation. There's one of their sovereign wealth funds. Just as the Russians know what Gata knows. They've been to our conferences. Yep. They've asked the central bank has mentioned Gata publicly over the years. I mean, think about that compared to America, in which we're not allowed to be mentioned.
Right. Remarkable time to be alive, my friend. I've got one last question in queue. It's from Larry. I don't know if this is something you can comment or would care to comment on at all, but he just wants to know, you know, we were talking about the ETFs a moment ago. Do you have any thoughts on Sprott Asset Management's funds, the PSLV and the PHYS?
Well, Eric's one of my favorite people I've ever met, so I'm very prejudiced. He's also been a big Gata supporter, keynote speaker at our London conference in August of 2011, Savoy Hotel, and he's been there. He's as smart as they come. I know, his fund's done well. I know it recently went positive in terms of the premium, and people were talking about whether you might do another offering or something like that. All I know is Eric's the smartest guy out there, and he's been talking about $100 silver for a long time, and he's been right for 40 years on markets, why he's so wealthy and done so well, and he's going to be right again, and that's my bet. And when, as one of your callers mentioned, J.P. Morgan and silver market, once they lose control, I mean, it's Katie bar the door on the upside.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think 1850 is my number, but it's going to be explosive, and people will not believe how fast it goes up this time.
He's got the actual metal, and having the actual metal is going to be paramount, you would think.
That's correct, and that's the one guy you can believe of being in a fund is doing what he says he's doing.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. Well, that's all the questions I've got at present, Bill. I want to thank you for all your time this morning. But before we go, we have a little tradition here in these A to A's. We call the final four, just four fun kind of quick questions as we wrap up, just to let people get to know you a little bit better. If you're ready, can I hit you with them?
Sure.
Now, my friend, you played for, was it the Boston Patriots back then, or was it the New England Patriots?
No, it was one of the last years of the Boston Patriots, yep.
All right, so anyway, that's American football, everybody. And Bill was a you're not in the Hall of Fame yet, but if I had a vote, I'd put you in there. So question number one.
I would say myself that, no, I only played 1 year, but I was a starter. It was 1968. It was the year that the Jets beat the Colts. Nobody realized back then that really the AFL was better than the NFL, and they proved
yep.
it. From there on in for a while, but anyway, it was a great experience and fun time.
So, question number one is: do you still have any of your old leather helmets?
I can tell you one fun story. I was the last guy to play in the NFL outside of the kickers that had one bar for a face mask,
like the old Joe Theismann single bar.
I was Joe Theismann and myself, although I was only a bit player, and he was a famous one. But yes, we were the last two.
That's fantastic. I like that. That is a good bit of trivia there, my friend. All right.
True story. Yeah.
Question number two. As a Northeasterner, do you prefer New York or New England clam chowder?
Oh, I mean, Boston clam chowder. I mean, that's not even a contest.
That's a dumb question, wasn't it? I'm sorry. I let you off easy.
I mean, thanks for asking it, but that's not even close.
All right. Question number three. This is one you got to answer with just one word. Give me the very first adjective that comes to mind when describing Jeff Christian.
Oh, jeez. Oh, that's beautiful. I mean, he's not beautiful. I mean, one word. Sorry.
Can we hyphenate it? Sorry ass or something like that? Or
yeah, just... it was yes, but that would have been two words.
I suppose that's true. Sorry.
But yes.
Very diplomatic and polite of you. I like that. All right. And finally, with a record extreme in the gold silver ratio, I don't even know what it is anymore. 80-1?
82.
Okay. What
around some of you.
And we always get, the people say it should be 16-1, but in your mind, what is the appropriate number?
I don't know, but I can say this, and I've never felt so strong about something. As I mentioned earlier, the silver price is going to go absolutely bonkers because right now the gold cartel and Morgan have got it in control. They're panicked. They're losing control of gold. They're panicked about losing control of silver. And when that happens, it will be breathtaking what it's going to do. And I think that's why the silver shares and a lot of the big shares of the silver producers have really taken off, and silver has really done nothing yet. And they're all taking off. If your listeners go look at the chart patterns, they know the people inherently know what's coming. And it could even be the bad guys doing all the buying because they know what's coming for silver.
True. Excellent point. That is a very good point. Bill, before we go, please tell everybody about La Metropole Cafe and how it works and how they can find you there.
Well, thanks for asking. I've been doing it since 1998. Gatto was formed soon after with the help of Chris Powell and because of him. And we realized that the gold market was being manipulated after long-term capital management blew up. And I saw all the bullion banks selling the gold. So I started writing in September 1998. It's a subscription site. Your people can sign up for a two-week free trial and see if it's of value to them. and that's what I do. And Chris does a great job with putting out Goddess stuff. And we're here to fight the good fight till we win. And our last conference is going to be one of a celebration when the prices go bonkers. Hope to meet you in person, a lot of other people, and it'll be a celebratory one.
We'll do another one of those London things like you did in 2011.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Except the last one will be to celebrate. We'll have said it all, and okay, here's how it all played out, and let's have some fun.
Feel like what a baseball team that just won the pennant. We'll all get some champagne and goggles and stuff, and we'll spray it all over a room someplace.
Exactly. Exactly. This has been too long, too hard. It's still been a great battle and fun in the process. But that last victory to salute everybody and just smile and relax will be a great time.
Please support and consider La Metropole Cafe, and please, everyone, support GATA. A link to their donation page is here on this page. You know, they just like almost everybody else, continue to function mainly through donations. It's a 501c3, isn't it, Bill, or is it a tax exempt?
Yeah, if you're in the IRS, yeah, you can write off donations in the United States.
Come on, I don't know
about other countries.
But that's fantastic. So you can donate cash. You can buy a T-shirt. I've got a GATA T-shirt I wear when I cut the grass. So if you want to help them out, buy yourself a T-shirt. That's on the site, too. Please support their work. It is indispensable, invaluable, all that kind of stuff. Bill, an absolute pleasure visiting with you. I hope we can do so again soon, and hopefully it'll be under continued fun times.
Oh, thanks, Craig. Great show. Appreciate it.
All right, my friend. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.